Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ramble a little bit this morning. It's daylight savings time, and I know that some people may like it, but frankly, this always messes with my internal clock. And I remember back when I was in business school at Cornell a couple of decades ago, I showed up for church. And I was really surprised when the choir stood up, began to sing the final hymn, and started recessing out of the sanctuary. And that was when I realized, oh, the clocks were set ahead. Enough of that for now. But looking at today's passage, what do you take away from it? I'm sure some of you recognize that famous quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Many of you may have heard it back in Sunday school long ago. Many of you may remember 3:16 being flashed up in the end zone at football games. But what does this mean? I receive comments about my preaching, and sometimes people just say something as they leave the sanctuary. It's nice when people say, "Good sermon." But I was told by my preaching professor that the comments that really mattered were the critiques. When people didn't like the sermon, and they told me why, that meant they were listening. Okay, there was something to that. And I do remember one critique I received after a sermon I delivered on this passage. And it was because I chose this passage for somebody's memorial service. And the person who had the critique didn't share with me the day of the service, but wrote a letter to me. And the author of this letter was Jewish. And he found this to be a very exclusionary passage and thought the church wasn't being welcoming by sharing this passage. But what is exclusionary about it? We focus on words that grab our attention. And the word I focus on in this passage is love and the world. God loved the world. It doesn't say God only loved this portion of the world, or that portion of the world, or these people, or those people. It says the world. God's love and grace are available to everyone. Stop discussion. If you choose not to accept God's love, gotta live the consequences. Now, I don't think that accepting God's love involves uttering a particular creed or saying a set of magic words. It means walking the path of Jesus, walking in the light and not the darkness. Now, I know that there are some things that we would call darkness that might be the result of addiction. And if you don't treat that addiction, it's on you, but it's also on society that makes it difficult to get treatment. But there are other ways of walking in the darkness that don't involve any kind of abuse of drugs or substances. Maybe you like to spend too much time online looking at bad websites. Maybe you like to spend too much time watching cable TV. And that is a punishment in and of itself. But there are ways we choose to live in the darkness, each and every one of us. And we can recognize the truth of this passage about the people who want to continue to walk in the darkness. Because sometimes when we're doing something that is wrong or hurtful, we may not recognize that at first. And then we get so caught up in doing it that we don't want to make any changes. So here I'm wandering again. Ernie and I usually exchange some emails early in the week looking at the music. And Ernie, I'm sorry I'm gonna speak about you right now. I'll put a dollar in the talking about you jar, which we don't have, but we should. But Ernie offered a comment that it seems surprising we had this passage from Numbers today, particularly after we had read the Ten Commandments a couple of weeks ago. This seems a little bit golden calfish, doesn't it? The reason we have this passage is because it's cited in John. That's the reason the people who put the lectionary included it. I have no idea as to what was going on with the Israelites in the desert back at that time. This is a strange passage from Numbers, but it's in the Bible. And it's used in the lectionary because it suggests what happens to Jesus. Jesus is also lifted up. And Jesus will be lifted up on the cross. Now, being crucified does not seem like a good way to be exalted. But the church has taught for 2,000 years that Jesus' death and crucifixion was his triumph. That was what led to the resurrection. And out of that horrible event, something good happened. Now, hopefully, you feel some welcome in God's embrace, and you feel that something is available to you when you come to this church. Each and every one of us, no exceptions, needs to repent. We have all done things for which we feel regret. But God forgives us. Each and every one of us. God is not going to withhold God's saving love from any of us. But God's grace is sort of like a door. God opens the door, but we need to choose to walk through it. You can't expect God to show up and say, "I am going to give this to you." You don't have to do anything. It's okay to keep sinning. It's okay to continue to do all those things that separate you from me and from your fellow people. We don't get a get out of jail free card. But we're told how to get out of jail. Repent. It's that simple. Now, I mentioned the politician, whose name I will not use, who said he had nothing to repent for. That was delusional. Every single person on this earth has sinned. Every single person on this earth has something for which they need to repent. It may be something really big and dark and heinous. It may be something small. But we need to repent. It's that simple. Are you okay with that? I don't hear anybody cheering. This isn't a pleasant topic. But it's something we need to grapple with. And the mainline church really needs to grapple with it. Because we have this habit of saying there is no sin. It's society's problems. Society is made up of people. We choose to do things. We choose to sin, but we also choose to do good things. So if I could take another pot shot at daylight savings time, we have this strange notion that we're in control of everything. So we're going to change the time. But we can't control the weather. I know the weather forecast said we were going to get some, what's called, wintry mix. And that forecast showed up on Friday or Saturday. But last week, I began to think that spring had arrived. We don't have some super weather machine. We cannot control the weather. Yes, we can mess it up, but we are not in control. Now, I don't want to leave you thinking, okay, we're not in control, so I can't do anything. So maybe I should just give up. That's not true either. Each of us has free will. Each of us has the ability to make decisions about our own lives. And those decisions can also be made in a way that affects the wider community. So Laurel, I'm sorry, I'm going to point out to you now. But Laurel Stavis is a member of our worshiping congregation, and she serves in the legislature. She chooses to spend her time working on behalf of the community. Thank you, Laurel. I've been down at Concord before. I couldn't do that day in and day out. Jim, you're a doctor. You serve people. You help them. Thank you. Linda, you worked in the schools. And you made a difference in the lives of so many young people came to the library. Corinne, you too. And I could go down a list that involves just about every person in this congregation. You have made a choice to serve others. So getting back to the scripture passage. If you're interested in eternal life, whatever that might be, you are earning it. John's use of the term eternal life is what the Synoptic Gospels often refer to as the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. We don't know that it's the afterlife. No one knows what the afterlife looks like. But we do know that you have the ability, and I have the ability, to live in God's presence now, to walk through that open door, and to accept what is freely given to us. So my hope is that you will feel motivated to walk through that door, and that you will remember that God's love is freely given to all the world, to everybody, to the employed, to the unemployed, to the banker, to the homeless person. It doesn't matter. God loves you. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gifts of Scripture, for the lessons it teaches us, and for the ways it challenges us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.